15, into the end zone, touchdown Detroit Lions. He slams it over the goalpost.
Welcome to the PODcast, the Pride of Detroit podcast for all things Detroit Lions on the internet. Everything you need right here from SB Nation, prideofdetroit.com, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter, Pride of Detroit on Facebook. Check us out all over the web. We're here right for you. We've got a star-studded lineup here today. We got the old crew back in here. That's right, it's no longer just me and Jeremy. It's myself, Chris Lemieux, writer for Pride of Detroit, but we also got Alex Reno in here, editor, Ryan Matthews, editor, and Jerry Mallory. I don't know your title, Jerry. We keep going over this every time. Like videos, contributor. Also, he does stuff for Detroit Sports Podcast. He's just an all-around cool guy.
I'm just hanging out, man.
Very cool guy, Jerry Mallory.
I'm like the Cato Kalin of Pride Detroit. I'm just around.
Yeah, so let's see. Find them all. Find me at Malkovich Plan. Find Jerry at, I just saw your thing there, Jerry Mallory NFL. Find yes, Ryan sir. At Ryan underscore POD. And find Alex Reno at
Alex underscore Reno. I just hit 1,000 followers.
Woohoo.
Woo.
Go Thank you. Yeah. Go yes. you. And as always, find this podcast on iTunes and on Blog Talk Radio, where it's given away for absolutely free. And by the way, it's staying free because we got some sponsors now. You're hearing them. Don't worry. You know, listen through them. Help us keep on the lights. Help me keep on the lights, at least. I don't know. Let's get started, shall we? Football's over. It's done.
Yay!
Woo!
Yay. It feels like a long. Yeah. It felt like a long season. I don't know why, but it just
it
felt
did
long.
I don't think the losing helped.
Yeah. No,
no, no, not for the Lions, and certainly that Super Bowl probably didn't help either.
The Super Bowl was like a too. Yeah. The Super Bowl was like a long, drawn out, just kind of like punch 'em up game. A lot of defense.
A lot of defense, but I don't know. I called it boring in one of my articles, but you guys, like, I mean, because I understand good defense can be exciting, but there was really no competence on either offense in that game either.
No, I think, I mean, I love watching good defensive battles, but I think it was more sloppy offenses than it was good defenses, other than Denver, but.
Well, I think it was boring in the capacity that there wasn't going to be even the slightest iota of a chance that Peyton Manning was going to drop back and throw the ball in the third or fourth quarter.
Yeah, like, what was it? Wasn't it Jim Nance was like, it was like near the start of the fourth quarter, it's like, can Peyton Manning give it one more throw to win this game? And he instead hands it off, and okay. The guy goes like 1 yard.
It's painful watching him throw the ball, man. I mean, it hurts my arm just watching it. So, like you guys said, I mean, yeah, I mean, Von Miller, like that guy, the defense aspect was cool, but sloppy offenses, man. I kind of dozed off toward the end. Maybe I'm getting old and maybe it was kind of boring, but I actually dozed off for about 5 minutes during the game.
No, I thought it was boring too. I just really couldn't get into it. It just really struggled for me to really kind of enjoy it, but.
Yeah, I liked Gaga in the halftime show a lot more than I liked the game.
Gaga?
And that,
hold on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a good performance.
Did she sing the anthem?
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, okay, the anthem. You said halftime, and then you threw me off.
Well, Gaga and the halftime is what I meant.
Sure.
And, that Peyton pass to Coney Ealy, though, going back to what Jerry said, and Peyton looking awful, man, that was just the worst pass of all time in any
That's
Super
pretty
Bowl.
Bad.
That was terrible.
Cam had some bad throws in there, too. Just all around, it was just, whatever. Shout out to Peyton Manning, though, shilling for Budweiser immediately in his, like, last moment of glory. And there he is.
Did he get paid for that?
I have no clue. He's going to take that secret
he had
with him to
have.
The grave.
He'd said it twice. Like, he had to plug it in twice. Like, the first time I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And then he plugs it in the second time when they give him a microphone.
I mean, he didn't even have to announce that he was retiring. All he had to do was show for Budweiser twice to know that he was
and
retiring.
He kissed Papa
he
John.
That he was setting up that last real, real big check for advertising.
And he kissed Papa John, too.
Wasn't
he was
like the first person he went to was Papa John?
Papa John, yeah. Not his wife, not his kids, not nobody. Papa.
Better pizza? Papa John.
It was surreal. It was really surreal.
We better get some pizza for talking about Papa John's for that long.
We should.
Speaking of Papa John's.
Actually, you know what?
Our advertisement.
We should chill out for a different pizza. Let's get Hungry Howie's in here.
Oh, yeah.
Hungry Howie's.
Or Jets.
Cajun crust on Hungry
Jets.
Howie's.
We need Jets
is great, too.
Jets is fantastic.
Is that how it works?
Cats?
No, it's not how it works, unfortunately.
Well, this isn't how advertising and sponsorship works. We can't just shout out people's names and get free stuff.
Maybe one day. Maybe one day I'll reach out.
Favorite foods.
Maybe one day when you have a five head like Peyton Manning.
Oh God. Let's talk some Lions, shall we?
Sounds good.
So while all that was going on, we for some reason had a lot of haters show up on the Detroit Lions. Not your usual haters, not the guys who come out the woodwork every time the Lions make a move, make the same old Lions comment. For some reason, talking about the Lions was in vogue during and like right after the Super Bowl. And I don't understand
why.
Some
of them were usual. We had Heath Evans.
Yeah, like Heath Evans spoke up and he was saying the usual nonsense, which he's been saying for years. I think Jeremy dug up like this time Heath Evans was wrong when he was saying that, you know, he thought the Lions were not going to have a great record and they were, and I think he like said Tampa Bay was going to be doing really well, and that was like in 2011, and that was like Stafford's best year, and they went to the playoffs, but because they started 0-2, he was going out there. And now this one was right after the Super Bowl. He said that the Lions need Lombardi's system. Stafford needs Lombardi's system.
Man, that got to me, man.
Hold up.
That really got
the kicker for me was he was saying Jim Bob Cooter's offense will get figured out. And I don't know if he realized why Lombardi's gone. Lombardi's gone because he got figured out.
Yeah, like, I mean, I guess I can see it happening with Cooter, but like when you say that Lombardi was the better alternative, it's like, have you watched any game in the past 2 years?
Right, and it's not even like this year. Like, you look at Stafford's numbers from 2014, and it was obvious that it just wasn't working out with him. It just, all across, it really wasn't working. And I think there's something to be said, too, because he keeps saying that same ridiculous word about developing Stafford. Stafford's near 30 years old.
No.
He is what he is. You can't develop him anymore.
He's like 27, right?
Is
26?
He? Okay, my bad. But still, he's at a point where you just can't develop him anymore.
Oh, he's 28. Never mind. Still. But yeah, I see what you're saying.
The thing that got me about Heath Evans is, I mean, clearly, what he was there in New Orleans with Lombardi, right?
Yeah, because Lombardi got hired to be the quarterback coach again for the Saints.
But it's weird, man. And it's not just that Lombardi take. It's like, and sometimes it's justified. Lions give you ammo. It seemed like he had something negative to say about the Lions all the time. It was like Warren Sapp, you know.
Yeah.
Warren Sapp had the issue with Sue, but he always had something negative to say about the Lions. You know, I don't know. I don't know what he has against them, man. I don't know what it is.
You know what else it is he's good friends with Reggie Bush, too.
You know, Reggie said some interesting things. It sounds like Reggie would be open to coming back to the Lions if he got the chance, because it sounded like he had a beef with Mayhew.
Yeah, I think Evans is kind of butthurt about the Lombardi thing and Reggie Bush getting cut, so that might be why he's just trying to go after us. I don't know.
It makes for enticing target. And look, we're critical about the Lions here quite a bit, but it feels like we kind of, I don't know, it feels like when someone else is critiquing in this kind of way, it comes off as just like, you don't really know the team. You're just going out and trying to find something to grab at. I don't know. Do you feel that way, Ryan, Jerry?
You just lose credibility if you try to defend Lombardi. You know, it shows you clearly have an agenda or you didn't. I mean, who actually could watch the Lions the last couple of years and say Lombardi had anything going that was decent, you know? So, you know, we know these guys aren't watching all the games, but if you're in front of TV and you're making good money, it's irresponsible just to throw something out there like that. That's just a horrible statement, man. You're getting paid to talk about football. Don't say Lombardi is a justifiable option at offensive coordinator.
Like, it was just a scheme failure, too. Like, you could tell what the Lions were going to run under Lombardi, whether or not the tight end was bunched up. Yeah. And, like, there were obvious failings. I mean, that's the thing. Like, he was saying you need Lombardi to get Stafford better, but it's like, yeah, but Lombardi also kind of torpedoed the offensive line in the run game. That run game was just awful with him because that zone running scheme of his just was...
Yeah, what run game?
Yeah.
Complete mismatch with our personnel. We got, you know, bigger, more physical offensive linemen. So it was just a mismatch from the beginning, man. And then too, you know, a coordinator, he has different, you know, he has the plays that he wants to run in the scheme. But I think a good coordinator, a good coach kind of works with the talent that's given. So if you look at that offense, you look at that offensive line, okay, I like to run zone, but these are bigger, mauling type of guys. So, you know, you got to be adjustable and adaptable. And he was certainly not that, and it showed.
Yeah, you can't force your scheme on players that aren't going to work out like that. You got to adjust for sure.
And I guess the other thing, so that was the Stafford one, and quite a few other guys had takes on Stafford too, and most of them during the Super Bowl kind of revolved around Calvin Johnson. A lot of guys think that Stafford needs to take a pay cut too. Instead of Calvin Johnson, as if I don't think people realize it's not about the money when it comes to Calvin Johnson wanting to stay or go. Like, there's some very weird talk when it comes to Calvin Johnson, including a couple days ago when Lynn Swann came out. And again, Calvin Johnson hasn't officially retired yet, but we're apparently already talking about whether or not Calvin Johnson belongs in the Hall of Fame. And Lynn Swann apparently doesn't believe Calvin Johnson belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, can I say what Lynn Swann said exactly?
So go ahead.
So we don't have to, you know, speculate too much? Okay, so here's what Lynn Swann had to say to the Detroit News. He said, "I would think that it would be difficult for Calvin Johnson at this point to be considered a Hall of Famer. Calvin Johnson has an extreme amount of talent and ability, but when you start to look at his team," there's your red flag, "the success of his team," red flag, "and did he lift that team? Did he make them a little bit better? But at the end of the day, I'm not quite sure."
This isn't basketball, man. It's a 53-man roster. I can see you saying that if you know, basketball is five guys, if you're that good, you can probably, you know, eke out some playoff berths, if you will. But in football, man, I think you really just got to look at what that individual does, because it's so much dependent, especially at the receiver position. How can he affect the game? You know, a horrible defense that he's been dealt and different things like that, running game. So that's, I'm not buying that.
Well, let's even just heed the words of the wise Gisele Bündchen for a minute. Didn't she say that, didn't she come to Tom Brady's defense one time and say he can't throw the effing ball and catch the effing ball?
Right, there you go.
Even the quarterback, the perceived position that a lot of people, you know, kind of heap a lot of responsibility to on. And I mean, you know, rightfully so. But even then, like, a quarterback at the end of the day isn't going to decide whether or not you win a championship.
It's such a team sport, man.
Does anyone feel like when talking about these sports that maybe like that, like just certain years in basketball and maybe baseball kind of ruined it for how we look at sports? Because I like to have this theory that Michael Jordan kind of created this mold of being the one guy who, you know, uplifts a team, takes a team to places where it might not be able to go. And people have just been trying to, it's what you were saying, Jerry, like, this isn't basketball. People are trying to apply that stamp from basketball onto all other sports now.
Right.
It's apples and oranges, man.
Yeah.
But. And he should look at the teams that he was on, all those, you know, victories. I mean, is he saying, you know, he was a huge reason and one of the main reasons why they won the Super Bowls? He has to look at his team that he was. I mean, they had so many good players on that team. You know, like, it wasn't one guy. So why is Calvin responsible for being the one guy that should have made the Lions good all these years?
Like, what were those teams remembered for? Like, they were the Steel Curtain. Like, it was like their defense. Right. The defense was their calling card. And I mean, even if you look at Swan's overall numbers, he's a Hall of Famer, guys. But his career statistics. 336 receptions for 5,462 yards and 51 touchdowns. The guy never had a season over 65 catches.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, it's a different era, but it's like, sure. And he only played the same amount of time as Calvin Johnson, so if he can't make the argument of saying he didn't, you know, he didn't like have the longevity. They only both played what, 8 years,
right?
Something like that. Who was his quarterback during that time too? I'm trying to remember.
Should have been Bradshaw, right?
Yeah,
it was Bradshaw. Yeah. So he's playing with a Hall of Fame quarterback right there.
And he had another. Who was the other receiver with him? He had
John Stallworth.
Yeah, he had Stallworth with him. So, you know, he wasn't getting all the attention.
Franco, you know, Harris. I mean,
so much.
Those are really good
team.
Those are really good Steelers teams.
Very good teams, like all time teams, like the Steel Curtain guys. Like, come on,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Lambert, Mean Joe Green, like all these guys, like.
But it kind of it's weird because people are talking about whether or not he belongs to the Hall of Fame, and again, he hasn't really officially said anything. It feels like, and look, I know it sound it like we're. I went on Toledo Radio a while back, and immediately like. After, like, the Monday after Calvin Johnson made it known that he was going to step in, not known, but, like, it the Schefter report came out.
Yeah.
The Schefter report made it seem
yeah.
like this was going to happen. And we were already lining him up against guys like T.O. and Randy Moss and the man whose name I can't really say because I don't want his attention. Number 88, I think he played for the Colts or something. You can say his name. I'm not going to say his name. But
why, because he's a murderer?
Allegedly. Oh, allegedly. Allegedly. I don't want his attention. But, like, I don't mind doing that, measuring up against, like, guys of, like, the same era. But, like, we're already jumping into Hall of Fame talk. Like, it feels premature. And then, again, you're right. You bring it up when he brings up the red flags about talking about the team. And Michael Irvin did kind of the same thing during the week, too, just stirring the pot about... Like, it feels like everyone wants to take Calvin Johnson and where he's at and, like, make him into a symbol for what he's not retiring for. Golden Tate's very straight up about it. It's about the injuries, and I've been maintaining it's all about the injuries. And yet everyone else who's not around the Lions is trying to make it about Detroit and about the Lions.
Yeah. Well, I mean, shout out to Behind the Steel Curtain, too. Jeff Hartman wrote a nice article about how kind of far off base Lynn Swann is when he made these comments, so...
Yeah, shout out.
Yeah.
Was there anyone else? Are we done chasing down the haters?
I'm good if you guys are good to move on. I mean, I guess I kind of just echo the same sentiments as you do, Chris. Like, why are we so quick to put this guy in the Hall of Fame when he hasn't even officially announced anything? So.
Well, I just found the progression of the storyline interesting that, you know, the news comes out he might walk away around the same time as the Super Bowl, so obviously it becomes a bit of a talking point. And then immediately gets hijacked. Like, I was listening, like, the day after to, like, the Russillo and Cannell show. And Cannell's, like, immediately asking guys how much of this you think is on the Lions. And you've got, like, Trent Dilfer talking about, oh, yeah, you know, if it was, you know, a better team, then, yeah, you'd probably stick around a little longer. It's like, he's deciding this after coming off 11-5. I don't know what else to say. Like, people just want to make this about something else. And then somehow we've got this tangent off of that about whether or not Matthew Stafford's good or not, which we just still can't seem to find consensus. And he's been in the league now six seasons? Something like that.
Six seasons.
And, you know, that's a good point, Chris. People are, you know, they look at our 1-7 start and going 7-9. But like you said, Calvin made this decision
before the season.
Before the season, after, you know, 11-5, so it kind of gives fuel to that theory even more so that it's not about getting sick of losing. They're coming off one of their best seasons or their best season since he's been here. His body's just beat down, man.
Yeah, and I think Jerry, like a lot of people aren't seeing the injuries because they were never really big injuries. So they just assume it's like, okay, he'll play through it and he's fine, rather than seeing how those kind of accumulate. And this whole idea that they don't want to, like, go after Calvin Johnson or be the one seen as maybe going after Calvin Johnson by saying he doesn't want to play the game anymore. Because Calvin Johnson might not want to play the game anymore. He might love the game and might not want to be able to want to play it anymore. And
I mean,
guys are applying their own sensibilities, which is, I'm going to keep playing and playing and playing until someone forces me away. So they can't understand that, so they go to the next thing, which is, oh, it's got to be the Lions, it's got to be the team, it's got to be the losing culture.
Yeah, I mean, you can see kind of like the mirror image of this going on in Seattle with Marshawn Lynch. I mean, the guy, he did have, you know, the hernia surgery here, but he was a guy who was always kind of like plagued by like nagging injuries. And he seems like a guy who just is sensible enough to say, I'm a running back. Like, I've taken just as much of a pounding, if not more, than Calvin. I'm just going to preserve the rest of my life and eat my Skittles and, you know. Hang up my cleats. That was an awesome photo.
Yeah, shout out to that. By the way, I heard the urban myth, and I think this might be confirmed. He actually sent that tweet out at about the same time when the Seahawks decided to pass on one and goal on the 1 yard line in the Super Bowl. Like, someone said that, like, when he sent that tweet out, it was at that exact time when they decided to pass instead of run
just
the ball.
Just one final play. Afterwards. Okay, yeah.
I don't know if Lynch thinks ahead that much. Like, he's just not that type of guy to
I could see him do that, though. I don't know.
But I don't know. But, like, going back to Calvin, like, he was the best at his position in his prime. So, I mean, like, these teams are literally, like, going after him every play. And I think it was against the Vikings a couple years ago where somebody was complaining about how people were, like, going for Calvin's head. And he could have had, like, some concussions and everything. So, I mean, I believe him when he's really hurting this bad.
Yeah. Well, one thing about the haters, and then, you know, if you want to move on.
Sure.
Was the point Deion Sanders made. I wasn't too keen on that or didn't really
appreciate. Yeah, he said some stuff, too. Yeah,
he's saying how, you know, Stafford should be asking, or the Lions should be asking for Stafford to take a pay cut instead of Calvin. And so I went ahead and, you know, my whole thought was, you know, Stafford's getting some decent money, but I don't think he's up there in the top. He's the 14th highest paid quarterback in the league. And I think that's pretty good in terms of, you know, if you're ranking Stafford where he's at, he's probably in that 10 to 13 range. You got guys like Cutler making more money, Colin Kaepernick, Ryan Tannehill. So, yeah, he's making a lot of money, but all starting quarterbacks make a lot of money, as opposed to Calvin, who's like number one by far. And in terms of money, but talent-wise, you know, he's much further down the list.
Yeah.
I think Stafford's pay is kind of indicative of where he's at in the league amongst his peers.
Right, and a lot of those quarterbacks got paid around that time where we were having that bubble on quarterback salaries, too, and everyone was getting paid.
Yeah,
Andy Dalton was
getting
paid, and Kaepernick was getting paid.
Yeah, that's just the quarterback market. I mean, like, Kirk Cousins is going to get paid, and like it or not, it's going to happen.
Sam Bradford, maybe.
The Eagles want Nick Foles back. Like, this is the quarterback market.
I don't think that's actually true.
Real quick, before we move on, I'll get to an NFL opinion. You think the 49ers keep Kaepernick, or is Chip going to go after someone?
I think they might keep him, but I think they're definitely going to try to have somebody compete and win the job still.
He said he wanted out.
Does Kaepernick want out of San Francisco?
I saw something about that last week.
Yeah, I remember seeing something. Jerry, did it mention how he wanted to, like, play for the Jets or something?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, sure. That's great. I mean, did he make these comments like after the whole Chip thing?
After the Chip hire? Yeah. Once Chip Kelly got there, then he said, which to me is kind of confusing. You would think he would want to play for a guy like Chip, but
you think it'd work for that system?
Right. So I don't know.
It might be the culture thing too.
He's got something against Oregon. Oh, yeah, maybe he's buying into that whole LeSean McCoy culture thing.
Yeah, maybe he just saw what happened in Philadelphia and is like, nah, I don't want part of this.
Right. Isn't Chip Kelly a little vindicated after LeSean McCoy, like, beat up some cops?
A little vindicated? Maybe a little, but I don't know. I don't know, because I heard it from a lot of other Eagles, too. Like,
yeah,
that was
true.
A weird situation with McCoy, though. Like, that was that came out of nowhere, and I'm...
I don't know. I kind of heard he was a dick beforehand. So.
I mean, would anyone be surprised?
Shout out LeSean McCoy for trying to throw that party that was all female. Females and females only that he tried to invite on Instagram.
I'd forgotten about that.
He's as real as it gets.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about some free agent stuff because we got a month to go here to free agency. Got to get it done. Okay, carrying on, let's talk about some free agents here. It is the lull after the Super Bowl. I think everyone's gotten their Cam Newton hot takes out of the way. Finally, thank God, I was going to lose it.
Quitter.
Who did that one where I saw Amir Abdullah retweet it? It was like it was Jim Fassel. Am I saying his name right? The 2000
fossil. Like a fossil.
Like a fossil watch, yeah. Jim Fassel was saying that Cam Newton performance was bad because of his gold cleats, which
great take.
I don't think that's what Spike Lee meant when he said money's got to be the shoes, but we'll roll with it, Fossil. Let's talk about free agency, though, because it is now. I was trying to crush all this with Jeremy. I think we're going to have this period up until about March where we can negotiate with the guys we got and sign anyone to long-term deals if you can. But I don't know if the Lions, with their cap problems and a new GM in, is going to really re-sign everyone that's ready.
Cap problems? Don't we have a lot of money?
You know what? The Calvin Johnson situation does actually turn it around, so I think we're in pretty good shape, even if he sticks around.
Even if he stays, a couple guys would probably get cut, too, like Tulloch.
Do you think Steven Tulloch would get cut?
Tulloch will get cut. I'm assuming that Brandon Pettigrew will be cut.
Yep, gone.
Wow.
What about the possibility of cutting Riley Reiff?
Yeah, I think they'll keep him. I think Joik's gone.
I think he's the only guy that might be on the chopping block, but I definitely agree. I think Pettigrew and Tulloch.
I just don't see.
They will be cap casualties.
Tulloch, okay, maybe it's a cap casualty. I can see that. That just strikes me
as
just.
And he's bad at football.
He had a bad. Oh, man.
Hey, he was my preseason prediction for Lions MVP.
Hey, I was right. Yeah.
By the way, shout out to Ryan. This is your first time in like a month, and we've finally gotten around to that where we're going to we reviewed everyone's like you guys weren't so around, bad. But me and Jeremy were reviewing everyone's like preseason picks for that stuff.
Boy, it was
actually,
so
I'm pretty sure Alex, you had Steven Tulloch as well.
I had Tulloch.
So. Yeah. Don't call out Ryan.
Bad pick. No, I'm not calling him out. I said he's bad at football.
Anyway.
Yeah,
I'm calling Tulloch out. I'm not calling him out.
They're going to save like $6 million by cutting him, and he's horrible now. So.
Yeah, I can see it on the basis of like money, but like.
Trust me. Oh, Alex, you stole my thunder. I was like, it's going to all make sense once we draft Reggie Ragland, then we have a middle linebacker replacement for him.
Woo!
Unless Ragland's not on the board.
Ric Flair, woo.
I think Josh Bynes is better than Tulloch at this point, even if we don't draft a guy. Tulloch was bad, man, especially in coverage.
Oh, God, he's slow as shit.
And Josh Bynes was one of the best linebackers we had in pass coverage.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
All right, aside from those guys and cap casualties, I think that's an interesting thing. We'll have to talk about that next podcast about who might be a cap casualty. Because I didn't even realize Tulloch was earning that much that he'd become that, but anyway, we've got about how many free agents this we've got 17 unrestricted free agents, 21 free agents in total for the Detroit Lions. Before we even get to that, like we're going to talk more on another podcast at some point, but you get looking around the league at all these free agents out right now. If any guy doesn't get, like, signed to his team between now and March, is there, like, any guys who's like, we need to have him?
Travis Benjamin, for me.
Like, Von Miller's going to get paid, so we're not even entertaining that notion here. But, like, guys you feel that, like, can hit the open market and we'll be like, yeah.
Alshon Jeffrey.
No.
Why? No, you guys don't understand. The reason I said that is because we own the Bears. So we own Bears players. So we should be able to have first dibs on signing them.
Okay, all right. I mean, it would be a huge slap in the face, but then once we sign we just spent a lot of money.
Yeah.
We can all agree, though, that like wide receiver immediately becomes like a big concern, right?
Right. Actually, you know what? I don't know if he'll hit the open market. I think he might out of San Francisco. I'd love to go after Anquan Boldin, though.
Anquan Olden.
Just like a short-term deal or something.
Yeah.
Like a one-year deal. For like
Jermaine Kearse will be a free agent, too. I think he's not going to leave Seattle, though.
I like Kearse. I don't think Benjamin's leaving Browns, but since we said we can have anybody. But also, I would like to sign one of the big offensive tackle guys, like
Cordy Glenn.
Yeah.
Glenn is nice, man. I think I don't know what the Bills are, going to do. I think Okun's going to hit the market though. They've paid too many guys, and he's more of a name now. He's kind of fallen off in his play, but he'll still be an upgrade for us.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, there's some
I think
other guys
either
Okung,
and I think even like, I don't know, I wouldn't be super excited about it, but it would probably be anything better than we could get in the draft past the first round. I wouldn't mind Ryan Clady from Denver.
Oh yeah, that's another one.
Yeah,
he's always hurt, but when he's healthy, he's good. He's mm-hmm. pretty good.
That's a realistic one too, because Denver can't pay all these guys.
Yeah, and I mean, we already have Manram, so
yeah,
why not just keep on siphoning offensive line talent from the Broncos.
But I thought this is the Patriot way that we're importing, not the John Elway way or whatever.
John Elway way.
The John Elway. Elway. Yes.
Yeah. Are there any white wide receivers that we can go after?
Oh, Wes Welker.
Danny Amendola's always got to be available, right?
We can convert Chad Greenway to wide receiver.
What about Chris Durham? Bring him back.
Can he play safety?
Can he play safety?
David Kirkus.
Can he long snap? Because we should segue into the fact that our beloved Don Mulback is a free agent.
Yes, of those 17 unrestricted free agents, Don Mulback, the Muldozer, is on there. Lions have to resign him.
Let's give him Jimmy Howard's contract.
Like Jimmy Howard shouldn't be in net like for the rest of the season. Like it should be like a 2008, like Chris Osgood has taken over for Dominic Hasek kind of like thing. Like there's no reason.
I mean, he's standing on his head right now.
Mrazek should not leave the net. He's given up like 10 goals in the past 8 games. Whatever. This is a Lions podcast. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I was probably going to talk some Pistons in the mailbag anyway, so.
Works for me.
Where, if you're one Detroit sport, you're all Detroit sports in my mind.
There you go.
Holler.
That's right.
Kind of the scene. Let's talk about these free agents. Maybe just go a little kind of, not rapid fire, but kind of a little faster these. First off the top, Haloti Ngata is an unrestricted free agent. Paying him, seeing him as a cap casualty, like, or letting him walk, what are you doing?
I want to draft a guy and then sign Walker or Ngata. I don't really care which one it is. I just think I want to bring one of them back for the defensive tackle. Bring one of those guys back, whichever one they feel more comfortable with, and then draft a guy. So Ngata or Walker.
Yeah, let me go over all of the defensive tackles that are going. We've got 4 defensive tackles that are going to be unrestricted free agents. So you got Walker, you got Ngata, you got Jermell Cujo, and then you got Corey Wooten.
Yep.
So
was Wooten even on our roster for real?
Yeah, he's on the roster.
Hmm. Oh. Well, I was going to say yes to re-signing Ngata, but I definitely like Jerry's conditional plan much more. So I subscribe to Jerry Mallory, 2016 GM of the Year.
Hey, we got to talk about Jerry. We got to talk about Jerry Franklin at some point too, guys.
That's in the mail. Yeah, shout out. We signed Jerry Franklin today. I think we have him in the mailbag.
Championship.
That's awesome. We've got the first name down, and my middle name is Franklin.
Your middle name is Franklin. So we basically we almost basically like 2/3 signed you to the Lions, Jerry.
Yeah, we got to like get you in on an interview with him so we can have Jerry Franklin and
Jerry.
Jerry
and Jerry.
Same room.
Jerry, you should show up to Allen Park like in like pads and stuff, just like ready to play.
I'm ready. Pull me in, coach.
I came ready for work, coach.
If I got enough pads on, they won't see how out of shape I am. I'm tall enough. If I got enough gear on, they might not see the fat.
And you are tall enough. I've seen how tall you are. I'm a very short man, but you are still towering.
I'll show it with ID. Colossus over here.
Show up with an ID and be like, Caldwell, I'm ready for things of that nature. Shout out Tom Key.
I'll hold my thumb over my last name, and all he'll see is Gerald Franklin, and then I'm good to go.
Yep.
All right.
Moving on. Let's look at defensive ends.
Well, can I do the Ngata?
Because Ngata's the biggest name on here because he got paid the most.
Hot take on him. I was going to let him walk. And because he doesn't even try to play football until week 13 anyway, so whatever.
Yeah, the injury is a big concern with Ngata. I'm against it just for that. Like, how many games are you going to give us next year?
Like, we need defensive tackle. So I'm really hoping that we draft defensive tackle in the first round, maybe even second round too, whatever.
I mean, but, he's 32. So I mean, like, how much does he expect to get paid?
Yeah. He's not going to get paid much, but he's also not going to produce much.
He's also going to get paid a lot less than if he had signed something before the year too.
Right. Like, yeah. So I'm glad we didn't give him an extension.
Yeah, I would re-sign Walker. and then draft a defensive tackle.
Okay.
The Jerry Mallory plan.
Yeah. The Jerry Mallory.
Okay, now let's talk. Let's see. We've got two cornerbacks up, Josh Wilson and Cresden Butler.
Pass.
They gone.
On both of them?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That Cresden signing by Sheldon White was pretty good. I'll pass.
Defensive ends, Daryl Tapp and Jason Jones.
I'd re-sign Jason Jones.
Jason Jones can get the hell off my team, but...
Wow.
Yeah, I'm saying it. Never been a Jason Jones guy.
I'm probably saying pass on both. I re-signed Tapp before Jones, I think, just for depth.
Yeah, I think Tapp will be cheaper, and he could probably do the same thing.
Yeah. Jones is from Southfield, Michigan, man. He's a local guy, but... Yeah, right. I want to see what Devin Taylor's got. A little more rep.
Three safeties. Go on.
Sorry. I remember Jason Jones had like a really bad year. I think it was either 2 years ago or a year ago. And then he had that one beast drive where he had like two sacks and a blocked field goal. And everybody was like, oh, my God, Jason Jones.
Oh, my God.
I think that's the Jason Jones I want back.
Yeah. that one All game. Right.
Three safeties here. Issa Abdul-Kudus.
Caduce.
Yep.
Isaiah Johnson is a restricted free agent.
Whatever. Bye.
Well, he was like an undrafted free agent last
year.
So
yeah. I'm
sure.
Sorry. I've got
team.
I've,
a team.
Yeah. And
Practice
then
squad,
at strong safety, James Ahedepo.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
So you just want to keep IAQ.
Adios.
Yep. IAQ can start, man. Well, he did toward the end of the year. He's good.
Look, IAQ can run fake punts, so I want him for that.
Yeah, and he called it himself.
He had the presence of mind. That's like a 99 awareness rating in Madden right there.
Hell yeah.
But the thing about Ahedepo is that like he just rubbed me the wrong way about the whole like holding out for a contract thing.
Yeah, you're not good, guy.
Like, well, who are you?
But here's the thing. I don't blame him. He sucks. He knows he sucks.
One more check.
He had a career year. I would have did the same thing. Like, hey, pay me, guys. Look how good my year was. And it really was like the first eight games were good.
You know what?
I don't blame him, man. He knows he sucks.
A lot of guys do that. They gamble on themselves, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. He gambled on himself and just came up short.
I totally understand that premise. The shoot your shot premise is – I always agree with that.
Right, and good on Mayhew for not fucking us over before he left.
Yeah, the new Giants, man, or whatever he's doing, a director of something or something like that.
Something about projects.
Oh, Harris?
Search.
No, Mayhew. Mayhew's new job, yeah. Which is apparently like the job of the guy who we just took for the Lions.
Yeah, the like
Harris.
Special projects guy or no?
No, just the director of football operations, that side of things. Like that guy who had that job for the Lions, I mean for the Giants, is now with the Lions.
Oh, he's like the secretary now, huh?
Something like that.
Giants. Okay, sweet.
He's got to make sure to get the coffee in the morning.
Oh, no.
Yeah, getting the mail and sweet.
All right. One guard on the board, Manram.
Yep.
Bring him back.
Keep him. Might even be our starting center.
Yeah, I was about to say you want to move him to center rather than having him on the left or right side.
Well, the Travis Swanson experiment clearly didn't work.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's a great insurance policy too, because I mean, he would essentially be like he's your backup guard at like either position, and he can potentially start at center. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like him.
Okay.
We have enough needs along the offensive line in and of itself. So.
Okay, now looking at the linebackers, we've got Brandon Copeland on the outside and Travis Lewis on the inside.
Whew.
Oh, and Tahir Whitehead.
I see Tahir Whitehead, too, and Tahir Whitehead needs to be like an auto signing. Like, he needs to come back.
Yes.
Agreed.
I think he's going to get paid, man.
He's going to get broke off.
I think he's going to get paid more than I might want to pay him, though. That's the only thing. I think someone might reach for him, pay him
a little
bit too much.
For how much we used him last year, too, I was there was a lot of times where I looked out on the field and I'm like, where is Whitehead? Why is he not playing?
Speaking of getting paid, too, like I'm pretty sure it's going to be coming down that Darius Slay is going to get a monster extension.
Good.
I think, was it Tate who kind of let it slip on Twitter that he was about to get broke off?
Yeah,
something about that.
Yeah.
And if Calvin retires, like, we might have more money than we
know
even
what to
need
do
to
with.
Spend,
yeah.
too, so.
Yeah.
There's a couple of extensions to consider, though, because that's the one thing. Like Mayhew, that 13 draft was good. And so aside from Ansah, who we can do the fifth-year option on, so this year and next, you got Slay you got to consider. Reddick, you might want to try to lock him up this year. Warford.
Sam Martin.
Ansah pretty soon, too, right?
Devin Taylor. All those guys are in the last year of the contract. So, you know, you might want to sign some of those guys long-term instead of letting them hit free agency next year.
Absolutely. Yeah, Ziggy's contract's coming up pretty soon, right?
Yeah, I think he'll get a big fat deal next year. They'll probably give him that fifth-year option and then sign him.
Okay, now some skill positions here just to kind of close it out. George Wynn at running back?
No. Well, I mean,
practice squad invite? I mean, why not? Maybe.
I could see him just giving him like a one-year cheap deal see if he makes a team again. But
yeah, he's restricted, so you can do what you want with that. At wide receivers, Lance Moore and Corey Fuller. Corey Fuller is restricted. Lance Moore is unrestricted.
Like, hold on. Before we get into this, we do realize that those two guys that you just listed off are our number two and number three wide receivers right now. Calvin Johnson isn't playing football.
Yeah, I'd keep. Would you keep? Probably keep Scary. Fuller. Probably keep Fuller. Would you or
no?
No. I think I would. I would definitely keep Fuller before I kept Moore.
Gosh, I don't want to keep either, but we might have to.
Might have to.
Fuller's just so bad. He's trash.
Tim Wright
and Bear Pasco are both the free agents at tight end. Bear Pasco came on during the year, and I don't think Bear's done anything. I just love the name.
How many tight ends do they usually keep? Four or three?
I think three, right?
Three. Yeah.
Well, I guess three because Molbeck is a tight end, but he's considered a long snapper as one. Yeah.
I could see him bringing back Wright as a, you know, a insurance backup.
He did catch a couple of touchdowns. Like,
He also he also was one of the worst blocking tight ends I've ever seen.
That's true. Like, we need to figure out the tight ends. I think Ebron is, like, no one's questioning Ebron, but like everything after that is kind of like what's gonna happen with this position.
Like, the question about Ebron, like how I just talked about, like, Fuller and Moore, like, those are your number two and number three wideouts. Ebron has to take the biggest step of his life this season.
Yes, like 2016 has to be, like,
the year of the Ebron.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying all pro, but you got to be like, yeah, I might want him for, like, the Pro Bowl. Like maybe not, like, first selection, but, like, you know, a couple guys step out for the Super Bowl or something, and he gets an invite.
He's gotta, Megatron he's gotta retires,
have, like,
70
catches.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, he's really got to step this up. Okay, and then last one on the board, saved the best for last, Dan Orlovsky. Danger Dan.
Hell yeah.
Reno. You let him go.
The last remnant of 2000.
Free agent.
That's what I want.
Five-year deal, Drew. Baby.
Bring back Drew,
so
baby.
Get rid of Dan, get Drew.
Hashtag bring back Drew. Hashtag bring back Drew.
Drew for the number two.
And, like, on a serious note, though, like, for all these fringe guys, like, we have to keep in mind that a lot of these guys we are going to sign, but they're going to be, like, completely unguaranteed.
Yeah.
And we could just end up cutting them anyway. So.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Dan Orlovsky.
All right, when we come back on the Pride of Detroit podcast, we're going to take your reader questions, answer everything we can in the mailbag. Doing what we always do is our favorite thing to do. And that is get through the mailbag, get through your questions. You leave it at the prideofdetroit.com threads that we put up for Ask Pod. You can send them to us at Pride of Detroit and at Malkovich Plan, and we will probably get to most of them. We just want to follow up here, though, real quick before we get to the mailbag about how a question was it like one? It was like two, three podcasts ago about cake versus pie with me and Jeremy. And in the interim, it's basically torn apart the Pride of Detroit staff. Yep. And Ryan, because for some reason, Ryan gets to have in his charge children, high school kids.
I don't know who decided that. But
yeah,
the state of Michigan decided that. The state of Michigan, like, is it Wayne County or is it Oakland?
Oakland County.
Is it Oakland County? Yeah.
Yeah.
The county, the great county of Oakland has decided. And what have you done to create this, like, Lord of the Flies situation at your school, Ryan?
Oh, wow. I'm glad that you made a literary connection to it. That's wonderful.
I always do.
So I decided to bring the debate that we were having on Twitter, the cake versus pie, that seemed to set our Twitter aflame. And I just took it to school. I took it to school with me. And the kids really took to it. Like, let's just say that we were studying how to kind of structure arguments and to use criteria and evidence to shape those arguments. And I've caught wind of students who I don't even have in other sections of the building that are writing papers that center around argument and the claim that a cheesecake is either a cake or a pie, and then supporting criteria and evidence.
That's even worse.
It's kind of like my high watermark. It's my highlight that I'm going to take back to Oakland University to say this is why I should be in charge of children.
Wait, that's your highlight? Not like polling the Pride of Detroit Slack room about how many suicides you're going to make them run? You forgot you did that, didn't you?
I did forget that I did that. Shout out to at Detroit Online. Shout out to Jeremy Reisman for winning that contest, and we ended up running.
Yeah,
was it like? It wasn't very many. It was like two.
It was like,
you picked the wrong number.
Yeah, we were going by Price is Right rules or something. So
yeah,
but that's what you do, and then you also like coach them in basketball too, which sounds even more horrifying.
I mean, we're 10 and I think we're 11-4.
Oh, we're not going to brag about your record here, Mister.
Yeah, whatever, man.
I'm just saying, if Stan Van doesn't work out,
holler.
All right.
Let's start here. Let's start a little light here. Jack H asks: Is Coke better than Pepsi?
Absolutely.
And would a switch from Pepsi sponsorship to Coca-Cola help improve the stadium experience at Ford Field?
It's really not even that close, actually.
Wait. Yeah, Coke is better than Pepsi, but would a switch from Pepsi sponsorship to Coca-Cola sponsorship help improve
the stadium experience? Like, there's that giant bottle of Pepsi in Ford Field. Like, that's, well, I don't know what that means by same experience.
But this is the thing, though, is that the Pepsi, I mean, obviously it didn't work out like this, but just because of the color and the branding of Pepsi, it's blue, kind of goes with the rest of, like, Ford Field, and
sure.
Ford is blue, and the Lions are blue, and it kind of just goes with us.
The other thing, too, is that, and I'm maybe kind of, like, I love Coke, but when you get Pepsi, it's more than just Pepsi itself. You're getting, like, Sierra Mist, which I think is superior to Sprite, and you're getting Mountain Dew.
Wrong. Whoa. Bad take.
Whoa.
Bad take.
Whoa.
Okay, whatever.
Awful,
but we're also
take.
Getting Mountain Dew, and what are you going to give to your your 13-year-olds if not Mountain Dew to keep them in charge for the football game? Like, you get a lot of other stuff with the Pepsi catalog, I guess.
Well, since we just lost anybody who listens to Future for your hot take on Sprite and Sierra Mist. Like, what? I mean, the Coke alternative to Mountain Dew is what?
Surge.
Surge
is a real
sun
thing.
Drop? I don't know.
No, it's Surge, and it's back.
Sundrop is 7-Up. Mellow Yellow is Coke.
Yeah, they have Mellow Yellow, too. I thought they brought back Surge, too.
They did bring back Surge, but yeah. I think you could only get it on Amazon.
What?
Well, it's Surge / Mellow Yellow. Yeah, you're right. It is technically Mellow Yellow is kind of the
This is the thing, guys, is that I used to work for Coke.
I don't like either,
so. Shout out Coca-Cola for paying me all those checks.
Shout out. Dr. Pepper's better than all this shit, anyway.
Dr. Pepper is actually... Well, okay, this I don't want to talk about this. Okay.
Okay, we'll move on. Another drink-related question. Joseph R. Sweeney asks, Power Rank Cocktails 2016 edition. So I think we can say number one...
I don't see the mule.
I was about to say, we're
going to
make our own power rankings here.
Okay.
First off, I think we're going to put up number one, and Ryan, you will back me on this, is the Moscow Mule.
Yeah.
I converted Ryan to the Mule train, and I think we can safely put that at number one. Number two, I'm going to go with, it is kind of Mardi Gras season. I'm going with Sazerac.
I have never had such a thing, Chris.
Oh,
you introduced me to all my
It's wonderful. You
got the Red Wings goalie.
You're the expert here.
Was that?
Isn't that the Red Wings goalie?
it's like a rye whiskey cocktail around Mardi Gras with absinthe, and it's glorious.
Jerry, yeah. What's your mixed drink? Jerry? What's your mixed choice?
I just like a simple. I'm a simple, like a screwdriver. I don't get that fancy with it. Just
you go Cuba Libre, Coke and rum.
Yeah, I like Coke and rum. I'll take a screwdriver.
Screwdrivers are great.
Yeah, whiskey sour.
Now you're talking my language.
Can I ask a question about whiskey sour? Is a whiskey sour, like, is that perceived to be like a feminine drink?
Some people apparently do, but I drink it just fine. I'm gender fluid in my drinks now. I'm not having this gender policing of my alcohol. Get out of here with that.
We just had the same conversation with my buddies. I'm having a few people over Saturday for the All-Star the dunk contest, and I told them, hey, I like girly drinks, so, you know, hey, I'm going to have some of them there, so just deal with it.
So Mike's Hard, guys?
Deal with it.
You know, I used to drink Mike's Hard quite a bit, and I finally lost the tongue for it, but...
A great take, Chris. I like your stance on,
like,
not being...
I understand if, like, something too sweet is not your thing, but you can't take that all the way down to the extreme of saying whiskey sour is a feminine drink. Like
I love a good whiskey sour.
Yeah, it bites hard on you, and it's nice and sour. I don't understand. Like, yeah, I don't understand what it is. Like, and the other thing too, like I like going, like when I go out west, I like going to tiki bars. I want to get a Mai Tai. I don't want that, or I like a Long Island iced tea. I don't want people to think those are girly drinks or something. Get out of here with that.
Yeah, it's like, come on, it's 2016, guys.
It's 2016.
Let's go.
Yeah, mojitos. Come on. Man, that's probably in the power ranking too, is mojitos.
Yeah, I like mojitos. Those are pretty good.
All right, let's get the third drink question out of the way, and I think we're done with alcohol questions. Move on to another sector. TJW Go Blue asks, not to be rude, fuck it, I'll be rude, but what's with all of you and the weak drink selections each week? There is so much great beer in this state, the state being Michigan. Always surprised to hear you guys sipping on Labatt. So he's calling you out, Ryan.
Who said this? TJW Go Blue.
Yes.
Well, TJW Go Blue, have you ever had a Labatt?
It's refreshing.
I like Labatt. Like, if you're gonna go, like, just your casual, like, widely available beer, it's always on tap everywhere, it's always a solid choice to come back to. Like, I'm gonna drink Labatt's over Bud Light, or I'm gonna drink it over Miller Lite, or, you know, any of the other various, like, domestic choices that we have. So, I mean, yeah, I like Labatt Blue Light. Like, you know, you can't get that in, like, other places in the country. Like, you know, if you go to, like, Arizona and you try to order a Labatt Blue Light, they look at you like you're insane. Yeah, they don't know what you're talking about.
I'll speak from experience. Down in Georgia, you can't get Labatt Blue.
Yeah. And dude, I mean,
we're going with Canadian. I go Molson over Labatt, but...
And perhaps... I mean,
Reno just has awful takes all the time.
Well,
sorry.
I mean, like, my light beer choice is Miller, but I'm not going to begrudge you for having Labatt.
Thank you.
Perhaps Ryan, you know, he has a job and he has things that he doesn't have time to sit here and dissect microbreweries. It's like a science, man. These guys on my job, they started talking about it. And I've got my hobbies. I'm obsessed with the Lions and sports. There's only so many things you can be obsessed with and still have a normal life. Perhaps Ryan does not have time to be a part of the microbrewing, beer making religion.
Jesus. Right,
God
and
damn.
Like I
Shout
love
out Jerry bringing.
Yeah, we got
fire.
Good takes here. And like I like micro beers, but I mean, if you want just a plain old beer at the end of the day, go for it, man. It's a free country.
Yeah, I just got guys on my job, and they say, oh, you know, what type of beer you like? And you mention something, and they just look at you like you're the scum of the earth because you don't make your own beer in your basement, dude. Like, leave me alone.
I'm with Jerry Mallory, man. Convince me to murder somebody right now.
I will run through a brick wall right now for Jerry Mallory. Yeah. A crew that pods together stays together. I like this.
Man. I like it.
This is great. Granted, hold on. Let me also say something. Is that, like, in I think next Friday I'm going out to Grand Rapids to go check out a Griffins game, and yes, Founders is out there. I have been to Founders. I like Founders beer. So does Alex Reno. He also loves Founders
beer.
So I do like drinking, like, craft beers every once in a while. But I mean, there's nothing wrong in partaking in the Labatt Blue Light.
Yeah, and like when we get onto these podcasts too, you don't really want a heavy beer either. Like if
no,
you're drinking,
right, Alex, you don't want a heavy beer if you're on a podcast or on a Skype call.
No, you don't. You absolutely don't. I'm speaking from experience right now.
too many judgmental drinkers, man. Let me have my Zima in peace.
Oh yeah. Wow. Wow.
Speaking of it being 2016, we got to bring back Zima. It was ahead of its time.
I think Zima is only in Eastern markets. Like, it's still available, like, in China.
Like, yeah, like some weird European country or something.
Yeah, like, yeah, they still have Zima.
It's right next to the clear Pepsi.
Oh, they're going to be bringing Crystal Pepsi back.
Uh-oh.
I don't remember why. Crystal Pepsi.
No, Crystal it was Pepsi? Probably for the best.
It's a phenomenon, man.
All right.
Sounds like it.
Let's move from drinks to talking. Not a lot of lines. We got a couple of lines questions. We'll get to them eventually. But this one, I think, is mostly for, I think a couple of us have seen this. Big Haircut asks, thoughts on the new Kanye album? Now, the Kanye album is not out yet. That is Life of Pablo, but it was Yeezy Season 3 that was being streamed over Tidal, I think it was, today. I watched some of it. I think Jerry watched some of it. Was it Brian watched some of it, too?
Yeah, I watched some of it, too.
It wasn't really like, it was like bits from the album, but it wasn't really like the whole album itself. But, I mean, what did you guys just think of the whole Yeezy Season 3 experience?
I mean, it's either kind of weird, or maybe I'm just not smart enough to appreciate that type of thing. But I mean, you know, Kanye, it's a package. I think you were talking about this.
Yeah.
It's the package that you get with him. And I know, like, you know, some people have a lot of disdain for him, and granted, yeah, he's arrogant and this and that, but I do think, you know, musically he's very talented. And I'm sure, you know, from the fashion standpoint, I'm just not as big off into that as others. It wasn't completely my bag, but the music sounded pretty good. And a lot of the singles that have already come out, he's released like 5 or 6 of the singles for the album. They all sound pretty good. So.
Yeah, yeah. Like, for those who weren't watching, it was like, it was weird, right? Because I think the main part of it in Madison Square Garden was like a fashion show. Yeah. Except like everyone was like standing still for like an hour straight. Couldn't, yeah. Like, they looked like they couldn't react to everything, and like some of them were barely dressed, some of them had coats, some of them had like these weird kind of post-apocalyptic onesies, but they're all wearing Yeezys was the big thing.
Did you see the list of the things that the models could and couldn't
do? Yeah. Like,
I had the list right here.
They couldn't do anything. What were they supposed to do?
They were just supposed to stand there, just like statues, not like a normal fashion show. It was weird. But then you also have, like, you know, you got Life of Pablo clips playing over it. You got Kanye in the corner who does, like, this weird Stan solo. It's like a Stan-ish solo. It's like, I want to be Kanye. What if I could be like Kanye, like, between these songs? And then he's, like, handing his iPod over to Young Thug, who has, like, some of his own tracks coming out. And then in the middle, he, like, unveils some video game he's been working on or something, too. It was very – you're right, Jerry. It was very Kanye. The man's an artist, and artists are just, by their nature, like, you have to take some time to try to understand them, and sometimes you don't. Sometimes you just don't get it. It is what it is.
I'd be innocent.
Oh, man. Okay. Why does it seem like Kanye just, like, he gets, like, Wi-Fi for, like, 30 minutes at a time, and all of a sudden, like, he'll just, like, shoot tweets off, like, out of a revolver.
He's on a minute plan.
Something, like, he's on a minute plan or something, but, like, that list of performance rules, like, it says, quiet, please, no whisper, no smile, no dancing, no sing unless instructed, no eye contact, no acting, no fast movements, no slow movements, no sharp movements, natural movement. Show pride, hold your position, stay in character, alternate between attention and ease.
Stay in what character?
Did Kim put this together?
No, Kanye did. No sitting down all at the same time. Do not make the same movements at the same time. If you want to move, you can shift your weight. If you are tired, sit down. The best rule, though, at the very end is do not ever look at the Jumbotron.
You know, I think that, you know who would have been perfect for that? Jim Caldwell. That sounds like Jim Caldwell on the sidelines, dude.
Shut it down. Shut down the podcast
right now. He would have been perfect.
We're done.
Somebody photoshopped Jim Caldwell in the Kanye Yeezy Season 3 thing. It would be
perfect. Oh, where's Ryan Nanny? He loves doing that kind of stuff. Yeah. Ryan Nanny from SB Nation.
Yeah, that sounds like Caldwell all day, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Caldwell looks at the Jumbotron.
Yeah, that would be the one exception.
He would look up there and think he's got to, like, challenge a review or something.
especially when he was coaching the Colts. It was even worse. It seemed like he was even more of a zombie at that point.
The thing I liked the most about the Yeezy season 3 that was held at MSG was the fact that Kanye was just like DJing, and it was like you mentioned, Chris, like he was just passing off the aux cord.
Yeah, like Young Thug just suddenly has it. And then who else was there aside from Young Thug?
Pusha T was there.
Pusha T was there. I heard some Cuddy, like I heard
Cuddy was there. Wale was there.
I think I heard someone play Beyonce's Formation at one point.
Yeah, Jay was there. Obviously.
Oh yeah, Jay-Z was there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, the who's who was there. Lamar Odom was there.
Really?
With Chloe.
Yeah, Lamar. Wow. Lamar Odom apparently said. Something, I mean, he didn't quite say this, but I think he gives a lot of credit for the fact that he was able to rehab himself, because Kanye would come through and he would play like snippets of like what he had like finished for his new album.
Huh.
Lamar said that was like some form of like rehab in a way, had like regenerative properties. So, I mean, Yeezus blesses all of us in some way, shape, or form.
Praise Yeezus.
Yeezin 3. I'm ashamed he didn't call it Yeezin 3, but
yeah. Well, the album should be out like by tomorrow, I hope.
I think someone said it's already up on iTunes. So
is it really?
Yeah,
I just checked and
it
wasn't.
See you guys.
I don't know. I didn't see it, but
you guys don't understand how big of a Yeezy stan I am.
Yeah, so. No, I'm going to, after this podcast, go and try to find that. But let's get to one last one here before we get to the Twitter questions. El Fuego 51 asks, if we happen to lose to the Giants next year, will Mayhew be carried off the field?
Oh my God! Sure, why not?
It's so disrespectful.
We'll just leave it at that. Let's get to the Twitter questions. We got some good ones here. We've got some good ones that came into to at Pride of Detroit. They're all very Lions heavy. Do you want to take some of these? Taylor McDowell at McTweet asks, what do you guys think of the job that Quinn has done so far?
Well, okay. He got us Jerry Franklin. That's a great signing.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, we're done. Like, there hasn't really been anything to say, so whatever.
No, not really.
Okay. Alex McMullen, A. McMull 1991 asks, if you're entering the draft, which team would you least likely... Let me try to rephrase this for him. So if you're going into the draft, if you are a young buck coming out of college, going into the draft, which team do you not want to draft you?
Browns.
Well, yeah. It's like a young Jerry Mallory. I wouldn't want to play for the Packers because but if I'm being smart about it, yeah, Cleveland.
Like, I know some people hate on the Lions historically and some other teams like the Jaguars, but like the Lions might go places, the Jaguars might go places. Where's Cleveland going? Like they probably had the biggest coach hiring, and yet I still look at them and I'm like, this team is just going to fall apart. Because all these guys through the years were like, yeah, we got a lot of talent, Cleveland. We just need a quarterback. Like a lot of those guys are thinking about, you know, moving on or retiring now.
You know who else I would say, too, is actually the 49ers with Chip. I don't think I would want to play there either.
Really? You're not buying in on the Chip system West Coast?
Not anymore. Like, I think he's a really smart dude, but just everything I heard from how awful he is with his players and in the locker room, and just he just seems like kind of a Nazi, too, like with his scheme and his system. So, I don't know. No thanks.
Ryan, you got an answer here?
No.
He's looking for Life of Pablo. Yeah,
It comes out tomorrow.
Okay.
I told you I didn't see it.
All right. Well, I'll wait. I'll wait for midnight or whatever I need to do.
I'm gonna make a mashup, man. Kanye and Radiohead, Life of Pablo Honey.
I like it.
Jerry's on fire tonight.
He is on fire. I love having him back. Shout out.
Jerry needs to play NBA 2K more while we're podcasting.
Okay, I've got a few questions here. You want to take my guy James Braswell at James GSTV. He is actually a guy who does some broadcasting for the Georgia Southern University Eagles, and he's a big Atlanta Hawks fan, and he asks a couple of Hawks Pistons crossover questions. So we're gonna step into basketball for a second. First off, let's start with the lighter one. Will Rasheed Wallace have his jersey retired by the Atlanta Hawks?
By the Hawks?
Yeah. Yeah, he's just being silly. Both these questions are silly, but they're great because I love James.
Well, hey, Jordan's number is retired with Miami, so anything's possible.
That's anything is possible. Ooh. Speaking of anything's possible, did you see, was it Pierce who got, like, the fake stabbing incident all around him?
I didn't hear about that.
Wait, like, what?
Was it, now I have to go look it up. I don't know where to find it. Never mind. Like, some of his teammates were, like, reenacting a stabbing he had outside, like, a Boston nightclub or something.
Oh, Paul Pierce?
Paul Pierce.
That's a huge throwback. Yeah.
I was just watching that, and I thought they were, like, reenacting, like, Julius Caesar or something. But...
et tu, Brutus?
Even more of a throwback.
Okay, his second question is, why is Josh Smith the greatest basketball player ever to ever grace
right,
a Pistons jersey?
Yeah.
And
shade. He throws some shade. Hook slide, BYB. Shout out, BYB. Bless you, boys.
Oh, yeah,
hook slide. Nice. Got a question in. Can we start a GoFundMe campaign to buy out the contracts of Jim Caldwell and Brad Ausmus and then lock them in a closet?
Yes.
Are you spearheading this?
Whatever money I have, sure.
You just have beer money.
Yeah, I have money for cheap beer, apparently.
Can we steal Jimmy Howard's contract money again?
Are we going to throw Jimmy Howard in this closet with Ausmus and Caldwell?
No. Yes.
Well, it's not like Jimmy Howard would be able to get them out because he couldn't save anything for the life of him.
Hey-o!
Burn!
Shout out to Bless You Boys. Pitchers and catchers are reporting eventually, and I'm going to have to hear about that very soon because that's a big thing for the baseball world. I'm going to try watching the Tigers again this year. I'm really going to make a concerted effort to watch more baseball.
Do we have a question here that says, will Rasheed Wallace have his jersey retired by the Atlanta Hawks?
Yes. And he's being silly because, again, he works with Peachtree Hoops on their podcast. So he's being silly.
What do you have, one game or two games with Atlanta?
Something like that, yeah.
I think just one game and then the trade.
Sheed was driving the truck up to Flint with all a bunch of donated water too. Like,
shout out Sheed.
Like, I of course he's the one driving that truck. Okay,
very intelligent guy too. People think of him as like a loud mouth.
Really intelligent. Yeah. Like he was one. Yeah. Like Roy Williams at North Carolina says he was like one of his favorite players all time. Not any of the other guys Roy Williams had. Sheed. Shout out to Roy Williams, by the way. I hope he's doing all right. He kind of collapsed on the court.
Yeah, that's pretty scary.
What was it, Wednesday night?
Yeah, against Boston College? Out of vertigo or something?
Something like that, yeah. He's been having some troubles lately. Too many coaches in basketball having those kind of troubles. Okay, at Pride of Detroit asks, which is basically Jeremy screwing with me here, how many wins does today's signing of Jerry Franklin equate to?
Seven.
I was going to say six, but yeah, well, seven will work.
Yeah, you're being conservative with the six.
What?
Ryan.
What are we doing?
I love this whole idea of the offseason just being pure Kool-Aid. Fantastic. All right, we're getting near the end here. Derek at Cronwall asks, which 311 album does the Pride of Detroit prefer, self-titled or From Chaos?
Neither.
Yeah, I hate to disappoint Derek, but I never really listened to a lot of 311.
I like the song Beautiful Disaster, so whichever album that was on. Other than that, not a huge fan.
Like, I know, like, Down. I think that's the only song of theirs I know.
I think they did Love Song too, the remake. You can't go wrong covering Love Song, right?
No, I don't think you can. You might, but I don't want to find out.
I think they did that. I kind of like that song Amber too. So maybe I'm like a closet 311 fan. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean it's one of those bands where I'm kind of like there's okay. I just can't think of too many off the top of my head, right? Like, and I'm not really thinking of them as albums either.
Right.
All right. A couple more questions here. We'll go back to the thread. Bud Dog. Shout out to Bud Dog. I think he's a first-time guy to give us some questions. First question, if the Lions are targeting any cornerbacks in free agency this year, who would be your top targets from a limited market?
Prince.
Prince?
Mukamara.
What about Leon? Leon Hall.
Sure.
Like those. Sean Smith, I think he's a free agent too, right? Kansas City.
He might be. I'm sure Jeremy Reisman, if he was on the podcast, he would definitely vouch for Leon Hall. He would also want Toussaint on the team. He would like it if the Lions went out and maybe like made it a trade for Devin Funchess to be our number two wide receiver.
Talk Woodson out of retirement.
Michigan. Shout out to Jim Harbaugh, by the way, completely just blowing up the college football world between National Signing Day and pissing off the SEC. Shout out to him.
Pac-Man Jones, guys.
Bud Dog's second question. Regarding Daniel Bryan retiring, are there any other wrestlers that made you want to cry a little bit on the inside?
CM Punk.
Yeah, well, like the way he retired didn't make me want to cry, though.
Him being off of WWE television, though, like it's something that I just always, I always remind myself that CM Punk is not going to come out.
Yeah,
from the back, and that makes me cry a little bit inside, especially with all the injuries we have right now in WWE.
Yeah, I agree with you there. We need him back.
Can we talk about that Daniel Bryan injury? Retirement ceremony. Though on
I missed
Raw.
Most of it, but I caught the end.
I missed it all.
I was watching it. Like, I'm just more amazed that Daniel Bryan was able to talk about concussions more openly than we've been able to do in the NFL for years.
I love that guy.
Like, and just the whole scene, like, just engineered in New Orleans like that. That was just it was fantastic. It was a great scene.
Oh, wait, him winning the world championship?
No, like, but the whole send-off.
Like, oh, that was in Seattle.
That was in Seattle, my bad. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where he's from, too, so I think that was definitely planned. So this had to be something that happened in advance. It wasn't like a spur of the moment.
Oh, no, this was totally planned in advance. Yeah. I know he only announced it like the day of or so, but
yeah, right.
Like that's a sign. And then you have everyone coming out at the end. That's a sign they've had it planned in advance, but still, like, just as far as like just theater while also being a real life thing as well, it was just like, wow, like it really hit home. Like, even if you had no clue who Daniel Bryan is, just hearing him talk up there was really, really cool.
Right. And isn't he like just like the perfect guy to kind of like spearhead a movement about like raising awareness about concussions and CTE? And I mean, I think that'd be great. He's a very likable guy. So,
yeah.
I mean, he was on ESPN for crying out loud, wasn't he?
He did
an interview with Coachman.
Well, Coachman's a former WWE guy himself.
Oh, yeah. He got the ring. Yeah. He got the ring.
I love that Coachman had his own like ESPN radio show. That was fantastic. Oh,
that's awesome. Can we also talk about how Titus O'Neil was suspended for 60 days for grabbing Vince McMahon because he wasn't he wasn't supposed to walk out before Stephanie was?
Really?
Did you guys hear about this?
I did not.
Okay,
I heard about him getting suspended, but I don't know the story.
So there's like a little bit of an altercation that happened at the end of the Daniel Bryan segment. So like the network uploaded the happenings that happened after Raw went off air. So they kind of had like a little like bonus, like 5, 6, 7 minutes of just Daniel Bryan basically whooping the crowd up into a yes chant. And then they like cut away to like everybody leaving, and supposedly like Stephanie was supposed to walk back first, like to the back, but Vince like stepped two, and then like Titus O'Neil like grabbed him and like jokingly tried to like, I don't know, kind of like jostle with him, and then Vince pushed him back. And originally he was suspended for 90 days, and that would have taken him through WrestleMania, and he wouldn't have gotten a WrestleMania paycheck. Which is like a huge deal, obviously.
That's a huge, that's a huge check.
Right, so then, I mean, it got lowered to 60 days, and I don't know if that'll still... 60 days, he might even still be suspended for WrestleMania. So...
Yeah, I saw... and I saw Dave Bautista tweeting something about free Titus.
Yeah. Shout out Dave Bautista.
Yeah.
Who is Filipino.
Much better actor right now than he was a wrestler, in my opinion.
How was he in Spectre? Was he any good?
He's pretty good. I mean, he plays a really good badass. Yeah. That's pretty much what he is. So.
He tore Daniel Craig's ACL, too, in one of the action scenes. I was listening to this interview of Daniel Craig, and I guess it was like a scene in a train where they were fighting. And so Craig tells him, okay, that was pretty good, but, like, you know, put some more force into it. And so Batista put a little bit more force in it and, like, threw him through, like, one of the train carriages and tore his ACL.
Yikes.
Yeah, you don't want to ask Dave Batista to...
Yeah, bad idea.
Okay.
Yeah, bad idea.
Last questions here. Yeah, we went off the rails there, but that's okay. We talk a lot of wrestling on this podcast, and we're going to have more as we get closer to WrestleMania 32.
I can't wait for the WrestleMania podcast.
Yeah, it's going to be lit. Yes. It's going to be lit.
No football talk at all.
It's going to be Chris Lemieux levels of lit.
Yeah. No one understands that reference, by the way. We've never talked about that Skype call on this podcast before. We've talked about Reno's night in the podcast, not mine.
Yeah. Okay.
Just talk about the disaster. It's not a big deal, guys.
I mean, I wasn't exactly doing what Reno was doing. I'm just cackling, howling.
At Kelly Olynyk.
Kelly Olynyk.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and I was screaming at Kelly Olynyk. I hated Olynyk that night. This is kind of a fitting question to end this podcast with. CB Russ, I got the name right.
Spurs
asks, he's got four questions. I'm only going to pick out the one I really like. Medicinal or recreational marijuana?
Oh, God.
Neither.
I like to mix the two.
That's what he says, not what you're
right.
saying.
No. Yeah, that's not what I'm saying. He provided an answer to his question.
I'm over at the border in Ohio. Is medicinal, like, still a thing in Michigan, or have they, like, shut that down?
No idea.
I would not know.
I don't know. I think my brother has a card, so I think so.
I do not partake in the smoking of illicit drugs.
We're all goody two shoes over here.
I'm not. Okay, I haven't done it in a while.
It's not goody two shoes, and it's not just because one of my students has found the podcast and now listens to it.
He's gonna come in tomorrow. He's like, "Why, hey, bro? Why you only drink Labatt Blue?" Right.
Shout out to Nick Menino. That's his name. In a matter of 1 hour, he stalked me so hard that he found my Twitter handle. He found my Instagram. He tried to add me on PSN. He added me
what?
On PlayStation?
On PlayStation Network from his desktop computer where he was.
Oh, now you're just throwing him under the bus right now.
Jeez,
I mean,
man.
That's all right. It's all friendly jostling. But to bring it all back, no, I don't partake in any of the marijuana, just the Labatt Blue.
Yeah, I'm showing up at Allen Park tomorrow with my finger over my last name, so I don't partake in anything.
Yeah, you got to take a drug test.
Yeah, I'm clean. Gerald Franklin's clean, baby. Ready to go.
Can we have an MVP of the podcast each week? And it's
we should. We should. It's Jerry.
Jerry Mallory's the MVP this week.
Jerry, we've missed you.
It's all 2K, man.
You gotta tune into his podcast too. But we gotta have him back more. Goddamn.
Yeah, this is fun, guys.
This is fun. We got one more question here, and
John Cena.